What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Final X Legends podcast. We are bringing you another amazing installment of the Billion Dollars Writers Club. So, right now we have a is it a Miss or Mr. Luna?
Miss.
Miss Luna Ruxer, who is a advocate of the LGBT community, who is writing an amazing story geared towards everyone. Everyone needs to hear stories that involve people who are LGBT. They need to understand that they're human, that they have just as many, you know, life issues as we do, and there is no difference to them. They are human beings that should be treated accordingly, and that's why we have a Miss Luna here to share her amazing works and shed light on this community and why you believe it's important to write these type of stories and get them out there into the hands and knowledge of the people.
Okay, so let's just dive right into the work then. Well, a little background first. I actually got my degree, and I have a degree in art and a minor in education. So I actually used to teach art. And then things kind of went down south. I won't go into the details of that.
Hey, but, for all you know, that might be the juicy details that your fans want to know. To like, right. No, so, seriously, what did happen? I want to know. I'm fascinated.
So pretty much what happened was, I pretty much got the job because I kind of knew the superintendent at that school. They say you kind of know people, and I think it's so true.
Yeah, it is who you know.
Uh-huh. And so anyway, she left and we got a new superintendent, and they just changed everything, what they like in a teacher, and everything just turned on its head. And so I was one of those teachers that they just didn't really like there. So
when was this?
It was about a few years ago now, probably about 4 years ago, I want to say.
That's odd. Because I would feel like being as who you are because that would be about 2016, 2017. That was when humanity was shifting towards, you know, just understanding that regardless of who you are or what you classify yourself as, it doesn't matter. Well, maybe it was an organization that didn't want to change with the times. Who knows?
Yeah, and I guess being an art teacher, you know, us art teachers, most of us are just naturally rebellious and going against the grain, so that didn't help either.
Yeah, because art teachers normally have an understanding of, they naturally come in with the understanding of everyone learns differently and creates differently. You know, when you're a math teacher, there's always like a formula to follow, so you teach exactly that formula that way. And, you know, they have a hard time most of the time they have a hard time understanding that, you know, students learn differently. You know, I believe, you know, I'll tip my hat to the writers, you know, the art teachers who have stood up and spoken out and probably made a lot of positive change with how teaching works and whatnot. So,
yeah, definitely.
So what is it that go ahead. Continue.
I was just going to say a lot of core subjects, especially, I mean, a lot of teachers, it's very hard for them to find any wiggle room to talk about things that aren't really valued so much in school anymore, like morals and values and critical thinking and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. So is that something that your writing focuses on?
Well, it's really interesting because my writing's really like not too much, I guess, about any of this. I've actually, my first book is actually a horror compilation.
Ooh.
It has six different horror stories. So being LGBT, that there is something there with LGBT. Like, I do have some characters in there, but it's not like tons of it.
Yeah.
It's almost like it's very subtle, maybe.
Yes.
So, yeah, I wouldn't expect it. I wouldn't want anyone to buy it and expect it to have like tons of like, you know, LGBT stuff.
Yeah, but that's
more horrific than anything.
Perfect. That's exactly what I wanted to hear. You're actually the first person that I'm having on here, first human being who's openly LGBT. And what I freaking love is, like, in my own personal stories that I've written and I'm currently writing, I do have characters. Like, in book one, there's a character who's a homosexual male. But you, in book one, you do not know that he's gay. It's not even something that comes up. It isn't until book two when we visit that character's home and somebody picks up pictures of him and his partner, and you find out. And this is something very subtle, and it's not revisited. And it's my way of showing how to incorporate someone who is of the LGBT community in your story. You don't got to have some flamboyantly JoJo's Bizarre Adventure character. You don't have to do that. Yes, you can, and it does work with certain characters. That there's this actually really cool anime that I'm watching. Well, I just finished it last night, called Blood Blockade, and it's phenomenal. I recommend that shit to everyone. And
Blood Blockade.
Yes, it has it has a character in season one, towards the end of season one, that comes in, and you can clearly tell that he's nothing but a surgery away from wanting to be a woman, but he has one of the coolest abilities, and he's just very just fruity and cheerful, and just love that guy. Just love him. He's just great, a great character.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But it's one of the
Definitely gonna have to look that one up.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like writer to writer, like the story has slightly inspired me some, because it has more of that Cowboy Bebop feel to it. In the terms of, it's got I'm an African American male, black, Negro, nigga, whatever the fuck you want to say what it is, that's what the hell I am. Yeah. So, what I love about that anime is I love when artists combine, and what I mean by that is I was able to hear like nice Japanese rap in that sounded like it was made here in America, but like it was Japanese, but it was just a perfect blend. It's got some good R&B hits in it. Like, and it's one of those animes. Like, I'm gonna tell you straight up, the one of the final scenes from the final episode literally made me like tear up, and not because it was like, it was about friendship, and that's what really made me tear up. It's really worth it. I'm a straight heterosexual male, and I'm telling you, it made me tear up. I spent 7 years in the army, been to Iraq and Afghanistan, and I teared up. So, yes,
it's awesome.
Yeah. So, real quick, gonna take a real quick break, and then when we get back into this, guys, we're gonna dive deep into the mind of Luna and find out about her characters, her story, and some of the obstacles that she's been through with writing and creating. And we're back. So, Miss Luna, what is the name of your book? And please tell us about your characters and what it is that they go on. Try to give me that name and short synopsis. Like, give me like that sentence hook, and then let's go further into what your book is about and what inspirations you have had and have drawn from. You said you have a horror niche that you like to go into, so I would love to hear more about that. The floor is all yours.
Okay, so first off, it's called Synodic Corruption, and it's a horror story compilation with 6 horror stories. It's pretty much a mix of what I like to call infernal horror, which is kind of revolving around like hell and demons and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. I'm very familiar.
I'm sorry, what?
I said I'm very familiar.
Oh, and then the other half is like more cosmic Lovecraftian horror.
Oh, so love it.
More about like deities from space.
Love it.
Or people dabbling and calling forth these ancient beings from, the universe to come down and meddle with us. So I'm a huge Lovecraftian and huge into horror, love classics especially. And I always was like thinking, I could never write. There's no way I could write nearly as good as anybody. But like I said, with like teaching and then substituting and then the virus stuff happened, so I wasn't able to substitute for a long time. So I was like, I got to give it a shot. And because there was a point too where I just read, hundreds and hundreds of horror stories, if not probably 1,000. And it's just, you know, I want to write my own stuff at this point now.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so it's interesting too. I want to go back to what you were saying before. You had mentioned, I don't want to say it, but you had said the N-word.
Oh, yeah.
And it's funny because, I mean, I have a few Black friends too, and I know it's different with a lot of Black people, but, you know, sometimes they would push me to, like, say it just to hear me say it.
Yeah, I've done that. I have definitely done that with my friends who, I was in the military, the U.S. Army, yeah. So I need you to understand something. We said a lot of racist stuff to each other, but in the military, I promise you it's different. It's different when you got a white guy next to you who's calling himself a cracker, and then you got a Hispanic guy next to himself calling himself a spit, and we all about to go into combat together. And they look at you, they be like, Toby, you ready? And you be like, nigga. Like, it's a whole difference. Like, it's more so like we mock racism.
Yeah, so much adrenaline running and all that. So
yeah, it's still a fine line, and I can understand people feeling uncomfortable. But I definitely have been around some of my like nerdier white or Hispanic friends, or they'd be like, "Man, just say nigga, say the word." Kevin Hart say it. They say it on TV all the time. Boy, you know. But I definitely you got to get the pass on it. You got to get the okay, you know, because I believe you me. Even I, as professional as I am, as honest and loving as I am, and I love my freedom, I love my children, I love human beings, but I will snap. Mm-hmm. I will straight snap if I hear that word being used incorrectly, and that's just fact. That's just law. That's the way the cookie crumbles. Like, that's just what it is. So, but why did you actually want to come back and touch on that? Like, that was going to...
Yeah, so pretty much I wanted to segue on that, but it's interesting that you say that because, you know, being trans, I could definitely relate. You know, there is a lot of hate, especially out there right now. It's crazy. You would think that things would be getting better, but it seems like things are turning a little bit.
Yep.
So, me personally, you just have to be strong because I think that the moment you show weakness and the moment that, you know, you have your guard down, they're gonna, you know, they're like sharks. They can taste the blood and they're gonna come for you more.
That they do. It more so happens on the internet than it does in real life. And that's just because of the protection. You know, there's a lot of things that human beings, I know for a fact that if we had like a hit TV show where people would record and they would be like, "Hey man, we found you. You were online talking trash to Miss Luna, and now she's here to whoop your ass." You know how many people would back down and be like, "Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean what I said on the internet." You know, like the majority of human beings are not fighters. I spent time in Afghanistan, and believe you me, I have seen men who are as big as Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson cower like little bitches, and I've seen scrawny little guys stand up and be badass heroes. So I'm very well aware that people are good at presenting themselves at being badder than what they are, especially on the internet. And
oh yeah, it's crazy. It's funny. We were just watching stuff online on YouTube where they were going into seemingly normal YouTube channels and how they were portraying themselves to be like this whole positive outlet, but negative things ended up happening in the background, like crazy stuff, you know, like murder and mistreatment of their kids and all this crazy stuff like that. So it's like I always tell people, you never know what's going on in someone's life.
Yeah.
So,
which is something that we should touch on with, you know, with writers is, you know, sometimes when like a lot of writers are writing to convey and express 9 times out of 10 a darker emotion, you know, and what I mean by that is, yeah, they could be writing an erotic or love story, but it's coming from the source of a heartbreak or a failed relationship. You know, there could be somebody who's writing a story about a hero and a wonderful journey, but it's coming from a place of solitude and the fact that they don't have many friends and they are just creating that. Like the creator of Pokemon, Like, he is something my best friend told me because he's big on Pokemon and monster stories and anime like that, you know?
Uh-huh.
And that the creator of Pokemon, I forget it.
Right?
Huh?
He loved bugs, right?
Yes, absolutely. I love that you know that. You definitely got some brownie points. 10 points to Gryffindor, yay! So, I love that. And he...
I love Pokemon, too.
I love... The classicness of Pokemon, but we're going to touch on that in a second. He created Pokemon because he was lonely. He had no friends, and he made friends with the bugs and talked to them naturally, and that's what inspired the whole idea of Pokemon. Think about it. You know, somebody catching animals, and think about the relationship between Ash and Pikachu. You know, that could only come from somebody who understood the bond of having a creature that doesn't speak the same language as you, but still building that, you know? Like, I know a lot of humans have that with their animals, but to be able to go and then create this, I mean, Pokemon has literally not gone anywhere since it's been created. So,
yeah, that's crazy.
Like, think about it. Pokemon,
new cards every time.
Like, what? New games, the new everything.
Uh-huh.
Like, mobile apps and whatnot, like Pokemon ain't dead. And even though Digimon is a great story in itself and whatnot, and it had a reboot last year, and I've been watching some videos on YouTube about it, but Digimon is more or less like underground cool. Pokemon is just mainstream. And the reason why is because Pokemon can cater towards new kids every year. You know, as soon as a kid turns 7, 8, you give them some Pokemon cards, they're happy, you know? So they're able to recycle the youth, and that's what keeps them going. And then by the time you're grown, you're already so invested into it. Like, yeah, sure, I don't go out and buy the games and stuff and that whatnot. But when Pokemon Sword and Shield came out, guess who bought that for all four of his kids? Me.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But back more to your writing. I love that we're just connected naturally and talking about a lot of things. But
definitely, I love it too.
Yeah, this is the purpose of the podcast. I don't want the podcast to always necessarily focus on the writer and what I want it to focus on the writer, but not necessarily on their product, because I don't want this to feel like us a massive sales pitch. Like, it should be a natural conversation, and I want fans to hear you and be like, I fucks with that person, and I want to pick up their book because they're intelligent. Yeah. They're, you know, kind. They have amazing inspiration. They like the same things I like. That's what this is for.
I totally agree. And I think that with that sort of form that you have for your podcast too, I mean, I think some people might not realize it, but even if you're not talking about your book, like, you're talking about whatever, like, we're talking about Pokemon, we're talking about humanity.
Boom.
All that stuff is still, you know, it's part of who you are.
Boom. It is, you know, and it's you know, somebody might actually go out and purchase a copy of your book just because you said, like me, my favorite Pokemon is Gallade. I will never change my answer. Gallade. the if you're a Pokemon fan and you're listening to this, Ralts, psychic type, evolves into Kirlia, hit it with the Dawnstone, baby becomes what? Gallade. Like, I'm a sword fighter. I love swords. I've always been that. Final Fantasy VII was my first PlayStation game, next to Crash Bandicoot. Since then, I became fascinated with heroes and swords and whatnot. But what I'm saying is, somebody might just go and pick up your book just because they like, oh, this dude likes Gallade, or this person likes, you know, Raichu, or this person likes Darkrai. You know, everybody loves Lucario. Bitch ass. And I say that because my brother loves Lucario, and I hope he hears this. Lucario is a bitch. Anyways, back to the writing. So,
Smash Bros. At all?
Man, that's his fuck Lucario. We're not for to talk about this. We're not for to go down that path.
Yeah.
But oh my god. And it's so funny because I was thinking about Cloud Strife, and he's in that as well. Speaking of which,
I know, that's crazy. Now they have Sephiroth there,
bro, too. Oh my god, like, and I just don't have the time for games like I used to, so I definitely need to get back into that and slash up some people, hit them with that Octa Slash. But the writing, I said like four times now. You say you love horror. Have you ever heard of something called the SCP Foundation?
SCP, I don't think I have. What is
that? Wow, whew. It is, if you love horror and you love that Lovecraftian feel, that cosmic greatness, that thing that makes you feel like an ant next to a mountain, you know, the SCP Foundation is where it's at. Even in my,
definitely gotta write that down.
In my own current works, I have drawn inspiration from the SCP Foundation. It's an internet organization that pretty much anybody can create a new mythological creature and add it to this organization, right? And it started, I believe, back in like 2009, 2010, something like that. I'm not sure. But what makes it cool is that the SCP stands for Secure, Contain, Protect. And what it essentially is how do human beings secure and contain these anomalies like vampires and Cthulhu and, you know, they have creatures that can, you know, like on some Pennywise shit. Like if there was an actual military organization that was tasked with protecting the human race and securing these anomalies and creatures and stuff and keeping it secret, how would they do it? You know, and that's what this organization kind of is all about, which allows for people to be able to create more of a realistic feel to everything. Like there's an SCP that is amazing. It's an infinite IKEA. And essentially anybody who walks into this IKEA, like as soon as you walk through the front door, if you turn around, that door is like 30 feet away from you. And the more you walk towards it, the further away it gets. Like you're stuck in there. Only the IKEA itself can allow people to leave, but it happens at random. Like there are people that have been living inside of that IKEA for years and whatnot. And it's very creepy because they have like little mannequin people that work there. And they're docile during the day, but during the night they turn vicious and attack the people that are inside. So like that alone could make like a really cool story, you know, or inspire something else. And there are thousands of SCPs. Like think about something on the internet that falls under the Creative Commons license, which means that anybody can use anything on there so long as you credit the original creator, you know. So. Like there's an SCP that's based off of a Norse mythology. It's called the Nukkevili, and it's basically a you know about that
kind of thing, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Oh my God, Luna, you are fucking 100 points to Gryffindor. God dang. Like Jesus. Yeah. But yes, I essentially created my own like horseman of the apocalypse for my story based off of that design, you know? So, you know, it was nice to be able to draw from that inspiration, especially with the story of the Orcadian horsemen and the Nukkevili. So yes, I wanted to touch on that and be able to give you something that could help grow your horror stories. I know you're already at 6 stories, but for all we know, you might be the next creator of something as good as, you know, American Horror Story. So, you know, we need more content.
My hope is to at least have, you know, I'm not aspiring like too highly. I guess I'm just hoping to get, you know, some money, you know, to sustain myself.
Yeah, ain't nothing wrong with that.
A small group of people that are interested in my work. But if it gets better, I mean, I won't complain either. But anyway, so back to like the, you know, language and the N-word and pretty much I was bringing it up too is because my book, in the very beginning, like the first paragraph, I used the word faggot. So some people might have reservations or be totally against that. I think in the start of my story, I do say that I'm a trans woman. So take it how you will. I think some people, you know, like with Black people, they're more, it's okay for them to use, you know, the N-word.
Yeah.
So, but my thing is, like, you know, even scouring the forums and stuff on writing, I just see so much of people saying what you can and cannot write.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's jarring to me. And in my opinion, in the book, I don't use it too much. I do try overall to refrain from derogatory language, but I think when you go through something that's so severe and dealing with so many issues, like socially with people, like to make that story more realistic, I'll put that in. For instance, the first story in my compilation is called The Third Eye, and it's about a metalhead who's gay. And he's struggling with his sexuality. So he calls himself a faggot, and he uses the word sometimes. So I just think it makes it more realistic and puts that like oomph in there. And those sorts of words are used in real life. Yep. So
that's, and I love that you just said that, because that's a big thing that we need to establish. Like in my dialogue in my stories, it grounds a lot of realism. But real quick, we have to take a quick break, and then we're going to get right back into dialogue and words that we use on a regular basis. All right. So as we were saying, with dialogue in my stories, I ground it with a lot of realism. Like, for example, in one of my chapters, there is a creature that I'm describing, right? And I'm describing it through dialogue. You know, these two scientists are discussing this creature. And at one point she says, it sounds like the Indominus Rex. And the other scientist, he's older, he's like, the Indominus what? And, you know, she's like, you know, from Jurassic World, you know, you have, you know, the fourth movie in the Jurassic Park series. And he's like, I've only seen the first two are the best. The second one was good. Jeff Goldblum is a man. And that dialogue will pull the reader in, because everyone can familiarize with that. Now, I'm saying that because, yes, use the words that human beings would use in this world. Like, do you honestly think I'm going to write a whole story based off of real people with real things going on, and none of them black people say, nigga, you got your goddamn mind. Like, what? You know, you think I'm going to write a story with a whole bunch of, you know, Venezuelans and Colombians, and none of them going to say Dali? You know, none of them going, you know, what? Come on. Going to say bendiciones and be like, you know, hey, mama huevo, you know, bullshit, you know, whatever. Like, come on. Like, you got to keep the realism of natural dialogue.
Exactly. Even an example I could think of off the top of my head, too, is even like in films. Like, for instance, I mean, I don't know who's specifically saying it, but I've read the news story sometimes with, for instance, like Quentin Tarantino's, like, his lately, like his Hateful Eight and the Western ones where, you know, they say the N-word a lot.
Yeah. I've seen bits and pieces of the Hateful Eight. I think the only thing about, like, even I don't like saying, you know, the N-word with the hard ER on it. Like, yeah. You know, even if I'm by myself, I don't, it's literally like Voldemort, the word that should not be said and whatnot.
Right.
So what's crazy about that is you still have to understand that word carries a lot. And even, mm-hmm. you know, saying faggot, that carries a lot of hate and maliciousness mm-hmm. behind it, especially when we have things like the Pulse shooting where, you know, a lot of people were gunned down strictly for their sexual orientation and being at that event. And, you know, that is something that we have to tread lightly with our dialogue. Like, don't write the dialogue and use the words like the way a 13-year-old on the internet would, you know?
Yeah, like super vulgar.
Yeah.
And that, overdone.
The object of your story is to craft and paint a picture in the mind of the people who are reading your story. And if you must use realistic dialogue to do that, yes, do that. It is a must. However, there is no need to be derogatory or instill negativity. Unless the negativity you are instilling is for a character in your story. Like, if you got a character in your story who's a deranged psychopath and rapist, and you're mad every time you read about this motherfucker because you want him to get killed, that's fine. But don't write a story that makes the person who's reading it, like, I don't want to be reading a book that keeps saying, you know, nigga with the hard ER on it, and like, you know, I'm reading this every, like, I've read some books like that, and like, as soon as I come across that word, I'd be like, man, fuck this book, I'm about to put this shit down,
right?
Like,
yeah, and I guess it's more weird too if they're not black, right?
Oh yeah, the authors. Yeah, it's like, because me personally, I feel like people who aren't black will always, that do use the word are always trying to find a way to use it, you know? Like, don't get me wrong. I mean, money is money, but at the same token, like, I just couldn't see myself portraying in any of these, like, racist movies. Like, I could never, like I just feel like it's a cop-out, like, in the sense of I'm allowing people to, you know, illustrate and orchestrate that time period for what?
Right.
Like, that was one of America's worst times, you know? Literally, I truly believe that, like, slavery is part of the reason why America cripples more than it grows. You know, it's like a person that, imagine if I built my house off of swindling people, abusing people, raping people, and, you know, just murdering people. Like, and let's say I use 5-10 people to build my house, and I didn't pay them. I was malicious and evil to them. But after I was done, you know, I gave them, you know, land and they can go do their own thing. But then I kept tormenting them. Like, I kept doing things to them that would prevent them from having a house like mine, you know. So my thing is, how could a person like that be rewarded, right?
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's what America is, the embodiment of a mass amount of that. Like, how can you expect, imagine somebody who spent their entire high school time cheating and getting through, you know, by being malicious and whatnot, and then they're upset that they don't graduate. And it's like, well, we found out you were cheating and being a piece of shit, so of course you're not going to be rewarded. It's like, why do Americans think that? I'm going to keep it a buck. Why would God reward this nation? Like, look at it. It is riddled with pestilence, with famine, with death, with war. It is everywhere. You know, it comes from our own leadership, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's something I think about a lot too. I always come back to a couple things, you know. I come back to, like, technology is one of the things, and although it's a great thing, I find it, you know, as a double-edged sword. It has a lot of benefits, but it has a lot of things that I think hinder us socially. So there's that, and then there's, you know, there's egocentrism and, like, you know, just being that everything's, you know, about go buy this, you need this, you need that, you need that. So there's a lot of people that are naturally become, like, very egotistical with that. So there's a lot of things that you have to be really careful with and be aware of. I think just even having a small amount of self-reflection helps a lot and goes a long way.
True. Very true.
But, I personally, I don't use the N-word in my stuff at all, but I do, I have used faggot in my first book. It's used 6 times, and then that's it. That's the only derogatory language I have. But I just wanted to clear up for people, you know, when they first read the book, you know, as soon as they read that, and then they want to, like, you know, put it down. But it's like, you know, that's some of the trauma, you know,
that people go through.
Family members that are homophobic, dealing with that pain and that abuse for so long, you know? So
at this point, I would like to ask, you know, go ahead and tell us a little bit about, like, one of the 6 stories that you've written. You know, this is your time right now to go ahead and, you know, get us kind of hooked on, you know, your characters and your stories.
All right, so I'll say my favorite one is called Silver Souls. So this one is Lovecraftian and cosmic, and the being that the cult is trying to communicate with is called Ogg-Sothoth.
I know about him.
Which is actually Yogg-Sothoth, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's so many different alterations of the name. But so that was my personal, you know, alteration of the name. But anyway, it goes through 4 perspectives. It has it's actually a black guy that buries bodies, and he was hired as security for the cult, but he doesn't know it's a cult yet. And then there's also a doctor. There's also a transgender teacher. And then there is a coder, engineer, tech savvy person creating, like, malware viruses, like really weird ones to, like, corrupt all technology and stuff. So there's, it's called Silver Souls because there's specific people, like they're like one in a billion that have this natural ability, this natural like spiritual ability to be like communicating on a subtle level with like these, you know, godlike deities. Anyway, this goes very quick. The chapters are very like short and they just jump between each perspective until eventually everything comes together and they've all met and they're there at the location where the cult is at, you know, going to summon Ogg-Sothoth, and you just see what happens at the conclusion of that. But there's high priests also in the cult and they're very interesting and crazy. I have one, there's a guy that he has a katana blade, and when he puts it in the scabbard, it the curve of the blade goes straight. So his blade actually morphs.
That's cool.
And he has like super speed. He's insanely quick, and he's it's just crazy. And then I have another one called, another high priestess called Zaxias.
Mm-hmm.
She can actually teleport everywhere. And her thing also is she has charisma. So because of her teleportation, well, this isn't in the book. I'm going to be writing another thing on this, but pretty much it is subtly said where she has most of the cult following her because she is the charisma and she's got people interested in joining, and they're more so in it because of her, not necessarily because of the cult's ideals.
Fascinating.
But anyway, it's a really crazy story about it, on apocalyptic proportions. There's a lot of weird stuff going on, people switching bodies.
So what time period would you say this takes place in?
It's modern.
It's like a post-apocalyptic modern, or it's not like post-apocalyptic. It's more of like our modern society, but I kind of want to say like a episodic kind of Black Mirror, but kind of on more of like if I took like Supernatural and like Black Mirror and fused them together, is that kind of where we're going?
Yeah, you could kind of say that. Yeah, it's kind of like that. And yeah, modern, kind of like modern apocalypse. It's like kind of like a little bit before the apocalypse,
mm-hmm.
but then you get to see, you know, the final step that, you know, causes it.
That is really cool. So
yeah,
I really do appreciate you sharing that and like, you were able to paint a picture in my brain, which is what I want writers to do. That's why I was able to go ahead and compare this to two things and try to, you know, get it as close as possible as to what I was picturing. At this point, I would like to ask you, is there any advice that you wish you would have known, you know, prior to writing? Like before you got before you sat down, pen and paper, laptop and tablet or cell phone, and you started writing, you know, what advice would you have liked to that you know now that you would be like, that you would like to be able to give yourself, excuse me, you know, and our listeners?
I would say it's definitely a lot of work. So make sure it's your passion. That's for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
When I got to the editing process, I was so ignorant. I was like, I'm going to get this done in like, you know, 4 days.
Yeah.
Oh. It did not take 4 days at all. It took me more like, you know, three months.
Yeah.
And that was just constant, just, you know, 15 hours a day, wake up the next day, another 15 hours, another 15 hours, and just piling and piling. It was so extensive.
It is. And that, I'm glad you said that, because that's something like, if I need people to understand, yes, there are shiesty, you know, editors out there. But when you come across a good editor who's putting in good time, you know, please pay these people for their time. You got to think someone is taking hours out of their day, because nobody sits there and reads, you know, for 20, 30 minutes. You know, like when you sit down to read someone's book to edit it, you're putting in hours of time.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to read it, digest it, and then look for the right things to edit, look for the grammar, look for the punctuations, look for the run-on sentences, you know, look for, you know, the fragments and you know, paragraph structures, and you might need to move sentences around. Like, I'm pretty sure you are very familiar with what I'm about to say, but there are some times where I have literally moved just sentences, you know, a couple, you know, paragraphs up, or even I've rearranged complete paragraphs so the information flowed easier, so that the reader didn't have to go back and look at information, you know? So it's a lot that comes into play with the editing process that people don't think about. They just think, oh, this person's gonna read my book and I wrote it amazing. You know, I have co-writers. And what I mean by that is I write my book and then I give it to them, like or I'll have like story points that I want in a chapter, right? And not to bash on any of my writers, but none of them are at my writing level yet. So what I initially have them do is just, you know, because whenever they write, they tell a story. I'm able to show a story through the world that's going around and through how the characters are interacting and how they're talking. It's a whole difference. But what I was getting to, I completely forgot what we were saying. What literally were we just saying?
We were talking about the editing process.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes. Yeah. So what I'm getting to with the editing is I have two or three people that have literally looked over the same chapter with me three or four times over, and then I'm reading the chapter and I still find things wrong. And I'm like, damn, like, and this is not their fault. It's not my fault. It's just human error. You know, you know, you would be, you know, a fool to think that you completed anything right the first time. So,
right.
You know,
and then the other thing too, I'd say definitely is like, don't expect it to come out and like, you're going to get even hundreds of people on it, because
yeah,
mine's been out now for like I think a week, and I got like maybe six sales.
And that's the thing. Yeah. You gotta stay diligent. You gotta stay consistent, because what'll get people to not buy your book is you giving up. If you give up because the sales ain't looking good in the first week or first month, people go. Right. If you're not gonna fuck with your book, why should they fuck with your book? You know. Mm-hmm. So you gotta go hard for your book. You gotta go hard for yourself. And that's why we're doing these podcasts. Yeah, that's why we're connecting and networking and doing all of that.
Yeah, and I was even thinking to myself, I was like, because it did kind of bother me a bit, because, you know, I had a lot of people that I thought were really interested in it, like friends of mine, which I have some very, you know, good friends. Most of those sales were good friends that wanted to read it.
Of course.
But there were still some that, you know, that said that they were going to buy it, and then they, you know, the numbers just don't add up. A lot of them said they were going to buy it, and
yeah,
they didn't. So, but anyway, so it just kind of got to me a little bit, but, you know, I was just thinking, you know, why am I, you know, let's take a step back. Why am I writing?
Mm-hmm.
I'm writing because this is my passion. This is what I love. And I had put myself back in why I'm doing it. So it's regardless how much it sells, I'm still going to write. I already have drafts written up for a second book. So I'm hoping that that comes out, you know, towards the end of the year, 2021. So that's going to be other, you know, short stories. I'm still going to have some horror stories, but I'm experimenting a little bit more with this book.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm still going to be, I'm still in it regardless of that. So
awesome.
But definitely be aware. That was definitely my advice, though. Definitely be aware that, you know, these sorts of things can happen.
And then just not to get discouraged. And I really appreciate you giving that advice. So everyone, this is Miss Luna Ruxer. I am going to make sure to have all of her website links and tags in the description of this video, so you guys can check out her amazing horror work. I believe that you all should look into a lot of her creations and stories. Support one another, and if you're looking for a good scare, I believe this is where you should go. I'm going to be doing readings of her book soon, within an upcoming month. You know, for those of you that would like to at least hear about the story. I also believe that you guys should look into the SCP Foundation if you're fans of horror, and, you know, it could help inspire you all to include Miss Ruxer here. So with that being said, this concludes our Final X Legends podcast. This is the Billion Dollar Writer Club. Please join us for the next installment. Miss Luna, do you have any last words?
I just want to say thank you so much for having this. This is great. I've loved it talking with you, meeting you. I like the idea of what you're doing with this podcast. And I'm really interested in watching it more and getting links, your links and stuff to it. And I hope people watching it enjoy it as well.
They will. And the reason for this is I want people to hear the realism. I will have a lot of, you know, higher up published authors who, you know, are making six and seven figures and whatnot on this show. But what I want is for the person who is afraid of writing. I want the person who's, you know, been thinking about their story for years to hear that there are other people like them who had to overcome little obstacles to get there. And maybe just hearing how you got through your journey or hearing your little bit of advice is what gets them to start writing. That is the purpose. Or
yeah, it's so awesome.
It's the person who's given up on their writing and a friend shares this podcast with them. And maybe they're in the same community as you, whether it be horror, whether it be LGBT, and just hearing that there is a strong LGBT representative, you know, just gives them that courage. So
yeah, definitely.
You know, thank you. It was an honor to host you on this and to grow with you. This is the longest that I've actually interviewed with someone. We definitely connected on a lot of personal notes, and I cannot wait to hear back from you in about a month and see, you know, what strategies you have used to increase your sales or what, you know, new tropes you're using in your works or how you like to structure your stories. You know, there might be a whole new way of storytelling that you may come up with in the form of horror and whatnot. And I want us and these fans to hear this. So
yeah, that's great. And I'd love to, would you be able to email me the, all of the information so I could look at your podcast and your work as well?
Absolutely. As soon as we're done here and I process everything, I will definitely share everything with you, you know, prior to it going up and live. But everyone, that's going to conclude us for today. You all have a wonderful day. I love you guys. Take care. And please be safe out there. This is Final X Legends out.